Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, October 28th, 2013, 3 days before Halloween, everybody. Ah, the little bastards are coming. You know? They're all going to come walking up to the door. Do you know the lovely Nia has canceled Halloween for this year? She was so fucking mad after last year. We went all out, and I got the full-size candy bars. Right? Because I wanted to be that house. The fucking good shit house. Dude, you got to go up the hill. Yeah, they got the full size ones. You know, like people would actually say anything. The good people would. The future banker kids, they wouldn't say shit. You know? They'd sit there with their little fucking Fisher-Price pocket watch and say, nothing to see here. Then they'd probably try to go back for seconds. But anyways, yeah, I'm behind. I got to go eat a pumpkin. I got to make my traditional pumpkin bread. And you can laugh all you want. It's the shit. And if you ever had it, you'd fucking apologize to me, both verbally and in writing. That's how fucking good my pumpkin bread is. I'll put it up against any of you fucking ladies. Any of you fucking women out there? Huh? You want to go head to head with my pumpkin bread? You know what I say? You know what I say? I say fucking bring it. Nah, I'm joking. It's pretty fucking good though. Should be. All the goddamn vegetable oil in it. It'd be fucking moist to February. But anyways, yeah, last year there was just a bunch of like high school kids walking up with barely a costume on. They have that shit-eating grin on their face. You know that fucking age when kids get into high school and they think they're smarter than adults and they think adults are morons because, you know, when, you know, we're not listening to their fucking music or whatever the hell it is because they're starting to shave. They get that fucking look on their face, which is hilarious. I don't get mad at it because I did the same thing. It's really fucking funny when you think about it that you would think that, I guess because when you look at adults, we got wrinkles on our face. We got the pot belly. They forget about the experience. The life experience that we have. Like, we're not fucking trying to do chin-ups here, sir, young man, okay? We're talking about a little business transaction here with your dumb fucking fake mustache on. I know what the fuck you're doing. You think I didn't do that at your age, you little fucking three-whiskered cunt? Get the fuck off my porch. Now, see, that's what I think we should do. I think we should still hand out the candy because Nia's done with the whole fucking thing. I don't know if you guys listened to my podcast from last year. There was some fucking guy. I don't know where, what his accent was, but he wanted some candy with his kids. And this guy was like 3 years younger than me. And I just was like, really? Really? And he was just like, yes. I'm like, really? And he's like, yes. And I didn't know what to do. I fucking choked in the moment and I gave him candy. I should have been like, get the fuck out of here. What is your costume? Going as a fucking immigrant? That's what you are. That's like me being a redheaded douche. Why don't you give me some of your fucking baklava, whatever the fuck you make. So anyways, but you know, I don't want to fuck over the kids. Kids are adorable. And you know, if they're going to get cavities, I'd like it to come from this house. If they're going to be future little fat fucks, I'd like to start right here on my front porch. So I think she's coming around. I think she's coming around. We went to the movies last night and we saw Gravity. We gotta find ourselves a new kind of gravity. And that was fucking amazing. But you know what sucks? The last five times I've gone to go see a movie in IMAX, you know, Nia always sets it up and I always say, look, this is IMAX, right? This is IMAX. Yes, it's IMAX. It's IMAX. There's like IMAX and then there's IMAX Lite where it's the smaller screen. The only fucking time I've ever gone to a movie and I really saw it in IMAX is when I saw the Heath Ledger Batman. And that was one of those deals where I couldn't see the cunt's head in front of me and I felt like I was going to fall off the edge of the earth. All right? That's IMAX. What I saw last night was not IMAX. That was the Bud Light of IMAX, where it is a giant screen, but like to me, IMAX is all you can see is the screen in front of you. So fucking annoying. And those douchebags down there on Universal City Walk, they got like three IMAX ones. They got the real one, you know, the Alec Baldwin one. And then they got the Billy Baldwin and the fucking Stephen Baldwin one. And if you're not careful, when you go down there, they fucking pass you off. You know, not saying that it's not still a good experience. Not saying that those aren't two fine actors, but it's not Alec Patriot Act. It's not him. All right. So last, so I was a little disappointed with that. But other than that, it was fucking great. Sandra Bullock killed it. And Jesus Christ. And it's just the thought of, I think I could actually, I could be at peace floating away from a station and dying that way and slowly just having the oxygen go out. As lonely as that would seem. Just the fucking, as long as I wasn't just twirling through the air, doing somersaults, and there's the earth, and there's the sun, and there's the space, and there's the earth, and there's the sun. I couldn't fucking handle that. If I was just sitting there floating, looking back at Earth and just sort of drifting away, I think that that would be a pretty fucking cool way to die. What, do you just gradually go to sleep? I don't know. If you're breathing in only carbon dioxide, do you get like a headache? I mean, that way, it's such a fucking peaceful way to go. If you're going to die before your time, okay? Okay, what do you have? Falling off a building? Fuck! Splat! Right? That fucking, the fucking wind in your ears, you're going down, making noise. The fucking whatever noise you'd make on the way down, fuck that. Getting eaten. Like, I think beyond, would you rather get burned to death? Burned alive? Or get eaten by a shark? I mean, eating alive is fucking brutal. Like, if I had to get eaten alive, I'm going with a big cat. Big cat in Africa. It's fucking over. After seeing the lion tamer there, which really, that's really just a title. Nobody tames a fucking lion. You basically, you had a good day. You're on a good run, but you know what's going to happen eventually. You know what I mean? That's like getting an honorary doctorate from a fucking school. I have an honorary doctorate from Harvard. Great. Well, you're not smarter than anybody, or you're not even as smart as anybody who went to this school. You just wrote the Macarena, or you fucking had your own sitcom, you know? And they knew that all those eggheads were going to be boring as hell when they were giving speeches on graduation day. So they brought you in. You're a fucking clown, and they give you a piece of paper. That's the same thing with lion tamers. All right? You're not taming them. Okay? You're trying to break their spirit, but at the end of the day, they're a fucking lion, and they're the king of the beast. Okay? Although some would say that the Bengal tiger could kick the shit out of a lion. I don't know about kick the shit out of him, but I don't know. But anyways, just watching that that lion tamer in Vegas, like when that thing grabbed him by the throat, that dude went limp in like fucking 2 seconds. It was like when you watch the UFC. You know, when someone gets choked out, you get choked out real fucking quick. So I wouldn't want to get mauled. Like, I wouldn't want to get attacked by a bear. They're very sloppy. You know what I mean? They're very, like, rip your face off and, you know, eat a little bit of you and then come back later after they took a nap kind of shit. I like lions, tigers. They just get right to it. They grab you by your fucking throat. In 2 seconds, that's it. You're out. You're dead. It's over. And then they, you know, then they have a meal. I wonder if any of us taste better than the others. Like, if you ate healthy, if you're like a, if you eat like a macrobiotic diet, if you're like a grass-fed cattle, as opposed to an asshole like me smoking cigars, drinking booze, occasionally going to McDonald's, do I taste more like, you know, Drake's cakes, some dried out shit? I don't know. But anyways, when you look at all those, and then the worst of all the getting eaten alive, other than a fucking Komodo dragon, which would basically bite you and then slowly follow you around for the next 3 days as the poison takes over, you know, as you're laying there and the thing's like 2 feet away, you know, just staring at you, its lizard tongue flicking at the side of your face, but not eating you, you know? That's fucking horrific. Plus, you know, reptiles, they just don't have any. There's no emotion. They're heartless. They don't give a fuck. Mammals, even like a lion or something, they have some sort of understanding what the fuck it is they're doing. Just like, you know, reptiles are like the Terminator. Not even. Terminator could talk. I don't know what the fuck they are, but they freak me out. I don't like them. I really don't. I respect mammals. I don't like reptiles. There. I made that statement, and I'm sure I'm going to get some backlash on that, and I'm prepared to go on CNN and defend myself when I go on split screen with some fucking lizard lover. But anyways, so if you're floating through space, like I could die like that. I definitely could. As long as I wasn't cold. As long as that suit held up and I was just sort of floating. That would kind of be the most, that would be the ultimate premature death. If you're going to die in your 30s, 40s or whatever, God, I still had half my life ahead of me or whatever. As long as I wasn't tumbling, if I was just sitting there floating, looking back at the planet for the last 20 years of my life, I mean, that's pretty fucking awesome. You know, me and Lance Bass up there just hanging out. I don't fucking know. I have no idea. So anyways, I am 7 days in. No, 6 days in. No booze. Shut it down. I'm getting the glow back. All right? I've been juicing. Although yesterday was a bad day, exercise day for me. I just sat on the couch all fucking day and gave a fuck. You know? Just watched sports all day and gave a shit. It was the worst. I watched that Patriots-Dolphins game with right out of the gate. My thanks to the officiating crew that worked that game. I am trying to remember the last time I've watched a game where my team got so many fucking huge calls to keep the drive going. That pass interference call on that defensive back against Gronkowski was criminal. Criminal. I believe that kept the drive alive, and we got 3 points on that one. And then they had the phantom hands to the face flag thrown three, four seconds after the play ended. Travesty. And then there was the fumble. And they said the Dolphins slapped it forward or whatever. I mean, that's one of those borderline. Was he reaching for it or whatever? But after those other two fucking ones, we get the benefit of the doubt again. Brady got sacked. He fumbled the ball. And the ball went 10 yards back in the other direction. We got the ball back, and it was first down. Lost 15 yards, and still somehow it was first down. And we were able to come back and beat him. And I got to say, the Patriots are overachieving this year. It's really an unreal. I can't believe the record that, what are we, 6-2? Is that what it is? We lost to the Jets, and we lost to the Bengals. But, you know. I'm not like, I'm a realist. I know what's going to happen when we play the Broncos. I know what's going to happen if we played the Seahawks or if we played the Colts or even the 49ers. Look, I know Belichick is a fucking genius and that we can somehow, I don't know what, but at this point, you know, that was what was driving me fucking nuts yesterday is they start the goddamn game and they talk about how the Patriots have injuries at all three levels on that defense. We're missing our best guy, Vince Wilfork, our defensive line best guy, plus Kelly. Our best linebacker, Mayo, is out for the season. Our best corner, Aqib Talib, they're all out. They're all fucking out. Hernandez went to fucking jail. Gronk just got back. Amendola's fucking in and out. We got nothing going on. You know? So they address that. And then the end of the game, I'm watching Hall of Fame fucking players talking about Brady's numbers and how his numbers are down. I'm going, this is an atypical. I mean, Tom Brady with 125 yards passing. It's like you just fucking said. How about Tom Brady? Somehow we're fucking 6-2 with nobody. Fucking nobody. We got nobody. We got Gronk back, but we got fucking nobody. And we're somehow winning goddamn games. And, I don't know. So I am a realist. So despite the fact that we're 6-2, you know, I know the hammer's coming down. I know it is. Yeah, even if we win the division and all that, I mean, I'm not delusional at all. And then after I'm dealing with that shit, I actually call up Verzi to talk about these moron fucking analysts. And Verzi, I'm going to start, he's just sprinkling his fairy dust on the New York Giants like every fucking week, right? They're 0-1, 0-2, and he's just going like, dude, you know, I think we're going to win next week. 0-3, dude, I think we're going to win next week. 0-4, dude, I think we're going to win next week. 0-6, right? And he starts going like, dude, you know, I think we can go on a fucking run here and blah, 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 right? So now they've won 2 weeks in a row. Okay? And I know they're nowhere near as bad as their fucking record, but Verzi fucking yesterday did the classic Paul Verzi. Okay? I remember in when the Patriots played the Giants the first time in the Super Bowl, right before the Super Bowl starts, he goes, dude, I'm telling you, I think the Giants could surprise some people today. That's what he said. I think they could surprise some people today. He wasn't saying they are. He wasn't putting any money on it. He just threw it out there, which is perfect. Because if they do, he gets to be like, dude, what'd I say? And then if they didn't, he goes, well, I just said, you know, I just had a feeling. Fucking that non-committal shit. So now he goes, the NFC fucking East is so fucking pathetic this year. The Giants started 0-6. They're now 2-6, and they're only two games out of first. They could actually win their division, all right? Which is classic Giants the last, like, 7 years. It's just like the planets aligned for these guys. It is their fucking time. So what does Verzi say yesterday? He goes, dude, I'm telling you, I think they could go on a run. They could get in the playoffs, and they could win the Super Bowl. Perfect. Perfect fucking prediction. Didn't say they're gonna. Didn't put any money down. He throws it out there. So I'm guaranteeing you, if the Giants win the fucking Super Bowl, he's gonna go, dude, I called it, because he threw it out there. I swear to God, it's listening to that guy predict shit. It's like watching a guy play roulette who just comes up with chips and just fucking dumps them on a bunch of different numbers. Ah, fucking, it drives me insane. And please send this clip to him. You don't even need to, because I'm going to give him shit about it today. And I actually like the Giants and that type of thing. And I think that they could go on a fucking run. And who knows if they get healthy? I mean, who knows? But I mean, I don't know. I don't see them. I don't know. The Saints, the fucking Seahawks. There's a lot of guys to get through. You know what I mean? But I mean, the reason why the NFL's great is everybody does have a fucking shot, especially if you play in the fucking NFC East. But I don't. I'm going to give him some shit. I'm going to tell him right now. I'm going to call that fucker today. All right? And I'm going to say, listen, I want you to put money on it right now that the Giants are going to win the fucking Super Bowl. All right? And if you don't put money down on it, then I don't want to hear a fucking word out of you. Stripe, you know what? You know what's a classic Paul Verzi pick? Xander Bogaerts. I was watching that shit, you know, just watching the guy. I heard a little hype about him. I read a little bit about him. And then I watched like two at-bats, and I'm watching this 21-year-old kid working the count in the fucking World Series. And I'm like, this is a Verzi pick right here. He would jump on the bandwagon. Dude, I'm telling you, I think this kid could do something. Oh, is he going to be pissed at me? I'm just fucking with you, Paul. But for the love of God, just say some shit's going to happen and put some fucking money on it. Stop with your fucking, I'll tell you, you know, I think it could rain this week. All right. Plowing ahead here. A lot of sports this fucking week, as always. I feel really bad because I've been neglecting my Bruins. I know we lost to the Devils, and I know we beat San Jose crazy in a last second shot. I've just been wrapped up watching baseball. And I got to tell you, dude, I did not miss it. Watching playoff baseball when your team is in it will take fucking 30 years off your life per game. And I know that's not a unique experience. I know Tigers fans have gone through it, and I know Cardinals fans have gone through it, certainly with us being two games apiece. And I got to tell you, it's been exciting, but I fucking hate baseball. I can't handle watching the shit. I hate that there's no fucking clock. It just, I hate that you just can't fucking win a game easily. You can't just be up a bunch of fucking runs and everything's good. You can't just be up 4-1 and it's all good. You know, at some point, between the sixth and the eighth inning, the other team is somehow, hey, walks the first guy on base. And then it's just going to be this fucking nightmare. And then they're going to take the guy out. Some other fucking stiff is going to come in. And it's just, I have Tourette's. When I watch it, I have to walk away. I have to go in the other room. I have to put the thing on mute because I'm convinced Tim McCarver hates the Red Sox and the Yankees. I learned that he hates the Yankees through Verzi. And, you know, he's a former Cardinal. I just think he just fucking – and I'm really trying to listen objectively going, is this guy criticizing the Cardinals the way he's criticizing slash predicting possible bad shit for the Red Sox? Fucking guy drives me up the goddamn wall. He says positive shit about Ortiz and positive shit about Xander Bogaerts. And other than that, it's just gloom and doom with that guy. He drives me up the fucking wall. But I have no idea who's going to win this series. And it's been a great series so far. And two of the most bizarre endings to games 3 and 4 and that... That obstruction thing, I'm not going to be a bitch and complain about it. I don't know what the rule is, like most baseball fans. The first time I saw the definition of it was that night, and I don't fucking know. I mean, I think it's more positive way of looking at it is probably we shouldn't have thrown the ball down to third base, slash we probably should have caught the ball. And I don't know how you call obstruction when you miss – the first half of the collision. That would be my only part of it. But it seemed like everybody, including our own manager, said they got it right. So they got it right. The fuck you gonna do? Whatever. It's tied up. It's anybody's fucking game. And I hope we're gonna win. I mean, obviously, I want the Red Sox to win, but I really want us to win because I can tell how much Verzi wants us not to win. How much he fucking hates the Red Sox and their fucking beards and their anti-Yankee dress code. It's driving him. Like, the level that he gives a fuck makes me laugh because it reminds me of the ridiculousness of why do I care. It's like, especially with Verzi, it's like, why the fuck? Dude, you got 27 championships. If we win this one, it's our eighth. What is the problem? But he, for some reason, fucking hates the Red Sox. You know, for the most part, other than 04 in the last fucking 9 years, we've done nothing but wonderful things for the Yankees. And, you know, you'd think if Chicago could find it in their hearts to thank us, you know, you'd think that a Yankee fan like Verzi could say something nice, you know, but I don't think he has it in him. I'm just fucking with him. All right, let's do a little advertising here for this week. What do we got here? What do we got? The usual. Oh, this is the one that's been blowing up, and I've been getting nothing but positive reviews, everybody. Are you a man? That probably means you got to shave, right? Unless you got that fucking kid disease where you never get any whiskers because your parents smoke too much weed or whatever the fuck, however you get that disease. Is that a technical disease? I don't know what it is. Dollar Shave Club, everybody. There's so many things in the world that irritate me. People who had no idea what the obstruction rule was and then watched it on ESPN and then start breaking it down like they went to law school. That irritates me. What else irritates me? I don't fucking know. The fact that I've been eating so well and doing great and then I went to the movies last night, got a Kit Kat and peanut fucking M&Ms like that wasn't enough sugar. You know? That irritates me. Ah, a bunch of stuff irritates me. Anyways, when so many things can irritate you, why would you add razors to that list? It's time to stop milking your razor blades, everybody. I know with brand name razors, you're used to paying outrageous prices and exhausting those razors until they start looking like a rusty soda can. Well, guess what? It's time to move on. Dollar Shave Club delivers amazing quality blades right to your goddamn door for just a couple of bucks a month. So you never have to think about it again. They send a pack every month so you can change your blade every week. I love these guys, and your face is going to love them too. They also have a new product called a One Wipe Charlie. One Wipe Charlie's, everybody. What is it? It's a butt wipe for men, and it's classy. You wipe your ass with your pinky hanging out. Check out the video and sign up for your raises today. Go to dollarshaveclub.com/Burr. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Burr. Or go to billburr.com and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. All righty, there you go. Hulu Plus, everyone. You've probably tried Hulu.com. Well, guess what? Now it's time to try Hulu Plus. You can watch your favorite shows anytime, anywhere. Hulu Plus lets you watch thousands of hit TV shows and a selection of acclaimed movies on your television, or you can use the on your go with the smartphone or what? What the hell did I just say there? Or on the go with your smartphone or tablet. I was doing so well. And it all streams in HD for the best viewing experience possible. With Hulu Plus, you can watch your favorite current TV shows like Saturday Night Live, Community, and Family Guy. You could also check out exclusive content, including Hulu originals like The Awesomes, starring SNL's Seth Meyers and soon-to-be late-night talk show host Seth Meyers, and Moon Boy, starring Chris O'Dowd from Bridesmaids. Hulu Plus also offers a great selection of acclaimed films. For only $7.99 a month, you can stream as many TV shows and movies as you want, wherever you want. You can't beat that deal. Right now, you can try Hulu Plus for free for 2 weeks when you go to HuluPlus.com/Bill. That's a special offer for my listeners, everybody. Make sure you use HuluPlus.com/Bill so you can get the extended free trial and that they know that we sent you. Go to HuluPlus.com/Bill now or click on the Hulu Plus banner on the podcast page at BillBird.com. There you go. Anybody watch Fast and Loud this week? I taped a bunch of episodes, and I have a new favorite car. I've always been a Ford guy, and the dude KC on the show paints the cars, which I think is so fucking badass. I was never really into the body work. At first, I was into watching them, you know, do the suspensions and dropping motors in and that type of thing. But over the, years of watching the shit on YouTube and watching people redoing cars and stuff, I'm really starting to get into the, you know, knowing how to paint the car. Just, and it looks so fucking easy, but I watched Richard do it 1 week and he sucked at it. So I really see that there's an art to it. But anyways, that dude KC on the show had this 55 Ford Custom Line. And I think that's what, Custom Line or Custom Liner? I'd never heard of it. I was always sweating the fucking Bel Airs, thinking that Chevy was doing it right. And let me look this up here. Yeah, Custom Line. And they redid that one and they painted it fucking all white. They took the chrome off of it. That car was the shit. And then they ended up selling it to Mark Cuban of the Dallas Mavericks. And I swear to God, if he ever gets sick of that car, I'd buy it. I'd buy it off him. I don't know if I'd pay what the fuck he paid for it. I don't have that kind of money, but Jesus. Such a badass fucking car. So, anyways, I'm in town. After, you know, I've been on the road this entire year. And I got a 2 week break here and I've been really enjoying myself just hanging around the house finally. I've gotten back into playing drums a little bit. I'm doing that Mike Johnston 10 days to faster hands workout. I highly recommend it. I'm 6 days in as of today. I'm finally able to stick with it just because, you know, when I travel, I kind of barnstorm around where it's like a different city every night. And it's really hard. You know, you bring a practice pad and your drumsticks and trying to find a table high enough. It's a big pain in the ass. So making sure that I'm doing it this time. I'm sticking with it. And anyways, I'm getting back into all my hobbies. Believe it or not, this week I'm actually going to try to make homemade ravioli. I don't know. I'm all over the fucking map. Nia said that to me the other day. She goes, "You're all over the map. You have ADD. You can't. You play drums. You play guitar. You make pumpkin bread. You know. You can fix cars a little bit. The outskirts, basically. I can't really fix cars. I can do little bullshit on it. I could have fucked up my seatbelt. I got to put that in. That's a couple of bolts. I can handle that shit. Whatever. You ride motorcycles a little bit. You're all over the fucking map." And I was like, "Wait a minute." But I stuck with stand-up comedy. I've been doing that almost 22 years straight. She goes, "Yeah, well, you know." What do you mean, "Yeah, well, you know"? That's the fucking thing I do. Everything else is the other shit I do. Isn't that right, Cleo? Look at her over there. She got her two beds stacked up on each other like a fucking double cheeseburger. Never seen anything sleep more in its life than that dog. Oh, by the way, I'm doing a benefit this Sunday. Sunday. I'm doing a benefit for pit bulls. Rescue Pit Bulls, and it's going to be down at Largo Theater this Sunday. That would be November 2nd or 3rd. November 3rd. I'm going to be down there with a bunch of other comedians, a bunch of dog lovers. Who the hell else is on it? I can't remember. Me, Whitney Cummings, a couple other people. And I did this benefit last year, and it's a great cause. And what's even it's even better is they bring a bunch of pit bulls down there. And it really is my favorite fucking dog. It's just the best. They get the best heads. They're fucking jacked, you know? You should see my dog's legs. It's ridiculous. Her back legs, when she goes to stretch, I've said this before. You remember that Roadrunner episode where Wile E. Coyote took that shit to make him run really fast and he's running and he had the flames? Remember that? He took it. It was like roids for his thighs. That's what her fucking legs look like. And every morning she wakes up and I squeeze them like shaman. All right. Hey, last week I talked about the Greenpeace 30. And how they got arrested for piracy and just like, was there any sort of thought behind, you know, if you're boarding a goddamn Russian, I don't know, drilling platform? I mean, what the fuck did you think was going to happen? So they got arrested for piracy. And I'm going to really follow this. I'm really going to follow this story to see what happens. It's just insane. Like right now they are, first of all, it got dropped down. Let's see here. Greenpeace Arctic 30's plight highlights the inhumanity of Russian jails. All right, that's a different one. It's now a month now since the 30 Greenpeace activists arrested for attempting to board the... I'm not even going to try to say it. Why not? I'll give you a laugh. Pryazamolamayamala fucking oil platform were transferred from police lockups to remand prisons in the Murmansk region in the Arctic Circle. That really scared the shit out of me. Like, I literally thought that they were on just, they built these jails on the ice, but it's sort of the, one of the most northwest, I think it's the most northwest city in Russia. Basically, it abuts up against like Finland, Sweden, Norway, like the top of those countries. So they're kind of all the way up there in these goddamn jails. And where the hell is it here? They actually were able to, they reduced the charges. So they're now, Russia drops piracy charges, cuts maximum jail term in half. Activists face up to 7 years in prison if convicted. Basically, they I think they knocked it down to, I don't know, almost like hooligan behavior. Says Russia on Wednesday dropped the piracy charges against 30 people involved in a Greenpeace protest. Ah, sorry about that. The batteries cut out on me. Speaking of Greenpeace, I was trying to make sure I used up all my other batteries before I fucking throw them out because I don't know where the fuck to recycle them. Where the hell was I? I'll just start it over again. They dropped the piracy charges, blah, 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 blah. They face up to 7 years. Down from 15 years. The charges against the activists who protested the platform last month have been changed from piracy to hooliganism, the Federal Investigative Committee said. And there's a whole Greenpeace thing if you guys want to get involved and try to help to get these knuckleheads out of jail. I don't know. Like, protesting, this is a really sad truth. Protesting is difficult enough in your own country, even if you have a democracy. Because you know the cops are going to show up. You know what the deal is. And as much as you tell everybody, just remain peaceful and then they won't club us down, somebody eventually ends up throwing a rock or doing something. Or some conspiracy theorists say that the government hires somebody to go in with the protesters and throw something so then the cops can then beat them down and tear gas them. I don't know if that's fucking true, but I'd love to think it is. It's hard enough to fucking do it in your own country. I got to give it up the fucking balls those people had to try and do that. And just the situation that they're in, it reminds me of that documentary I saw on that, The Ganja Queen. Did you guys ever see that? It was basically this lady that went to Bali. And according to her, she loaded a boogie board with a boogie, you know, she checked that and that was her carry-on. And then when she got off the plane, The Bali state fucking troopers came over and said, hey, is that your boogie board fucking satchel? And she goes, yeah, it is. And then they opened it up and there was all this weed in there. It was all this weed, man. And they don't, in Indonesia, they don't fuck around when it comes to drugs. They have a zero tolerance for it. And if you get busted with the shit, I think they put you to death is what they usually do. And they say that. I just did Tom Rhodes' podcast, and we started to talk about this. And they basically, he's been to Bali, and I was like, dude, don't you get scared? And he just sort of laughed. He goes, no, I just don't bring any drugs into the country. And I'm just kind of like, well, what if just something happens? What if somebody next to you has them and just shoves them in your pocket? I know that's a ridiculous fear, but like, you know what? I mean, look, I'll go to another country and the countries that if you kill somebody, it's punishable by death. And I can live within that because I just can be like, well, you know, I'm not going to kill anybody. I think it's because over here, if you get busted with weed, in a lot of states now it's legal. And then, and if you get busted, it's like no big deal. Unless, of course, you have a bunch of it and you get busted for trafficking. That's a whole other deal. But I mean, it's not like somebody can just drop a bunch of kilos of weed on you, plant that on you, stick them in your fucking backpack. You're going to know they're there. But just the fact that you have one goddamn joint on you. Like, dude, I would walk into that country naked. I'd come in with a fucking Speedo. I'd get a colonic the week before. I would juice for a fucking month. And I would have a cattle prod and keep all other passengers away from me. And I would walk into there wearing a goddamn thong. And that's the only way. And even then I would be scared. Punishable by fucking death. Jesus Christ. So anyways, if you want to watch something really disturbing, watch this Ganja Queen. It was what she was called in the papers over there. They opened up her boogie board, satchel or whatever the fuck you call it, carry-on case, and there was a bunch of weed in there. And they were like, we're going to put you to death. In the Australian whatever, the fucking syndicate, whatever you call it, the embassy, tried to get this woman out of it. And just watch that documentary. This, I mean, obviously the Greenpeace 30, they're not going to get put to death, but I'm sitting here scrolling across the maps here, looking at this shit, where Bali is over in India. There's Murmansk. There it is right there. Jesus Christ. Just fuck that. How the fuck is anybody going to help you? Oh my God. That's why I always do that Amnesty International, because that is a fucking fear of mine. Just being thrown in a goddamn jail. Do you ever watch, you remember that show Arrested Abroad? Did you ever see that thing? I watched that with Nia one time, and Nia loves traveling. She goes, that made me never want to fucking go anywhere again in my life. But it was one of those things. It was always like these fucking people were trying to smuggle drugs out of the country. I mean, I'm trying to think of something that takes more balls than that. I'm sure that you guys can come up with something. But I just being in a country where if you get caught, you're going to go into their goddamn gulag and you're not going to be able to speak the language. Talk about a man without a fucking country, and you're going to have to go in there. I mean, Jean-Claude Van Damme, he's in, at the height of his powers, is getting fucking ass raped in that situation. It's just, you're done. You're fucking finished. Jesus Christ. I mean, I get not working in a cubicle and wanting to make you fucking money, but there's got to be some other talent that God gave you where you can make money that doesn't involve shoving a key of coke up your fucking ass trying to get out of Colombia. There's got to be another way to do it, right? Riding your fucking moped to the airport on unpaved roads. There has to be a better way. There's got to be a better way to do it. Anyways, let's fucking move on here. Are we far enough into the podcast here now that the thing cut out? I got to do the math here. Was it 35? Ah, Jesus, I don't fucking know. Let's Let's read a, I think I went through everything that I wanted to talk about, didn't I? Oh, yeah. I'm a little out of it here. I haven't eaten yet today because last night I ate late at night. I ate it like 1 in the morning, I think, is when I finally stopped eating. Came home, had one of those fucking antipasta plates, and like fucking 1 in the morning. And I adhere by that rule that you go 12 hours after your last meal. Like if you eat at 8 o'clock at night, you eat the next day 8 in the morning. I stayed up till 1 in the morning, so I'm not eating till 1 in the afternoon. All right? That's how you become a tub of shit, right? You go to bed at 1, you wake up at 7:30 in the morning, you have to go to work, and then you eat a bacon, egg, and cheese or a fucking donut, and it's over. It's fucking over. So that's it. I tell you, I got down to like fucking $1.70. I told you I was going to get into sitting down, no shirt on shape. That's what I want to get back to. Just one more fucking time in my life. You know, they're always making these movies. You know, they're going to do it one more time. They got one coming out that I'm going to go see. That one with De Niro, Michael Douglas, and fucking Morgan Freeman, Alan Arkin. Oh, I think he's in there too. I don't know if they're all in there, but like I'm going to go see. You know, they're doing it one more time, right? That's what the fuck I'm doing with my stomach. And I'm having a hell of a time. Because if you just stop eating, you end up losing muscle. All of a sudden, I looked down at my arm. I had the arms of a seventh grader, and I still had my little fucking beer belly. You know, looking like a goddamn turtle right now. So I got to do something. I got to fucking eat more meat and fucking do more. I don't know what I got to do. Probably have to get a personal trainer. I don't want to do that. I have somebody holding my ankles and I'm doing sit-ups. I can't fucking do that shit. Oh, speaking of Michael Douglas, you know, I finally sat down and I watched Behind the Candelabra. You know, I am, I'm too homophobic. I was too homophobic to watch it. And, you know, this is the thing about being homophobic. There's all different levels of it. Like that word, oh, he's homophobic. And then you get it like you think gays are going to hell and they shouldn't be married and what they're doing is unnatural. I'm not homophobic like that. I think, you know, being gay is just how you're naturally wired. So it's completely natural. And go out and fucking have at it. You know? Fuck as many as you can. Do your thing. I don't give a fuck. Get married. Have a hell of a fucking time. You know? God bless you. But I get like, I don't know what it is. In movies, when there's guys kissing each other and caressing each other, it makes me fucking uncomfortable. And then there was something about watching Michael Douglas and Matt Damon playing footsie with each other, like that fucking, I didn't want to see him in a hot tub together. I couldn't fucking watch it. I'm getting uncomfortable talking about it, but whatever, I'm being honest. So anyways, I was on the road or something. I don't know where the fuck I was at. I was back in Boston and it came on and I watched the second half of it. And I got to tell you something, it was absolutely fucking phenomenal. It was fucking hilarious. I'm going to have Nia on here at some point and do her Michael Douglas impression. Going, Scott. Scott. I can't do it as well as she can. Michael Douglas and Matt Damon killed it in that fucking movie. And I was actually rooting for Matt Damon's character. I felt bad for him. It's like, dude, you got to get out of this relationship. You're fucking up your face. You got to get off the drugs. You know, he's bringing in some younger guy. The writing's on the wall. You got to get out of here, man. Go take some night classes. You know, do something else. What the fuck are you doing with this old man? With his sparkly fucking coats and his goddamn toupee. You know what I mean? He's using you. I got into it like that. That's how well it was done. Highly recommend that. Two thumbs up Behind the Candelabra. Old fucking homophobe Billy. He liked it. Not 100% homophobe. Well, 20% homophobe. Is that offensive to say homophobe? Am I supposed to say homophobic? There's something about abbreviating shit that makes people annoyed. Like you're not supposed to say tranny anymore. And you know what's funny? I don't even know if that's short for transvestite or transsexual. I don't understand why that's bad. That's like if your name's Mike and somebody, hey, Mikey! Is that bad? You know, that's really offensive. My name is Michael. Thank you very much. Transvestite. Tranny! What do you say to dick and a dress? What are you doing there, buddy? Sweetheart. You know, you can't fucking say that, evidently. Despite if in your heart you don't think there's anything wrong. I don't give a fuck if that's what you want to do. God bless you. You know, God bless you. Put on some fucking heels, walk down the street, and let people know what you're doing. I don't give a shit. I really don't. I really don't. Just fucking don't play your music too loud. Don't trick or treat past a certain age. And I don't know what else. If you're drunk, I don't mind if you talk to me when you're drunk. Just, you know, keep your distance. Is there anything worse than what somebody's... I had somebody over the weekend. I was down at the Comedy Store and just somebody was fucking wasted. And they just, you know, when somebody's wasted and they just come up to you. You're in the middle of a conversation. And they just, fucking barred. They become like, you know, like toddlers don't give a fuck. How they have no concept of two people talking. They'll just barge in on the conversation. And they'll just, I think I used to do a bit on this. I don't even know if I ever put it on a special. I used to talk about how they were like drunks. And they would just start in the middle of the conversation, middle of a story, and let you try and figure it out. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Let's read some of this shit here. All right. Is 29 too old? Hey there, Billy Bandwagon. For those of you who don't follow me on Twitter, I've been going by Bill Bandwagon, watching the Red Sox. And I got to tell you right now, I am not Bill Bandwagon anymore after fucking aging 30 years watching all of these goddamn games. I am back to diehard. I'm not diehard. Maybe I am. Maybe I'll come back to watching baseball. We'll see. The jury is out. But Bill Bandwagon left after we lost two games in a row. And there was the obstruction call. He took off. And diehard Bill fucking hung around. All right. Anyways. First, he says, I just want to say love the podcast and your comedy specials. Well, thank you very much. He goes, my question, do you think 29 is too old to start doing stand-up? I have a decent full-time job as a paralegal and consider myself lucky to be gainfully employed. However, life in an office is miserable and it gets worse as the years pile on. I'm not quitting anytime soon, but have thought about starting to try open mics to see if I'm any good. Maybe help me be a little more outgoing. What do you think? Is it still possible when you're damn near 30? Thanks and go fuck yourself. Dude, abso-fucking-lutely. Absolutely. And this is the thing. Yeah, don't quit your day job. That's what I did. I had a day job. And I was like, let me try this stand-up thing. And I started doing it. And I immediately loved it. And I just kept working on it and working on it, working on it. But I didn't leave my day job until I actually kept my day job when I could have left it. I was making enough money where I could live, but I kept my day job because I knew I was moving down to New York and I wanted to save up some money so I could, because I knew that I wasn't going to show up in New York and oh, great, this fucking guy we don't know is here. Let's give him a bunch of stage time. I knew I was going to have to struggle. So I would absolutely 100%, if you're thinking about trying it, definitely try. Even if you just do it one time, you did it. You did it. I went skydiving one time. I ever tell you guys that story? I went skydiving one time. I did a static line jump in Pepperell, Massachusetts back in the day. And I almost had a problem. They said, sit in the door. It was sit in the door, get out, go. So you sit in the door, they open the door to the plane, you sit in the door, and then when they say get out, you put your feet, you put one foot, your left foot on this, almost looks like an engine mount that's above one of the wheels of this fucking plane. And then you're hanging on to the support for the wing that is above the fucking plane. You're basically like a goddamn wing walker. And then it'd be basically if you leaned up against a bar, if you put your body at a 45-degree angle and you leaned up against the bar in the upright push-up position and then you went down like you were coming down to the floor. That's basically the position you're in, like you're down to the floor except it's the support to the wing. And then you have one foot on the engine, what looks like an engine mount, and then you have another foot pointed straight out behind you because what you're going to do, it says, get, you know, sit in the door, get out, and go. When he slaps your shoulder, you let go of the fucking plane, which makes no fucking sense. And then you bring that other leg up parallel to where your other one was sitting out, and then you arc. All right? And what I did was a static line jump, so I don't have to pull the chute, but I don't have anybody with me. It's a static line jump, and as you let go, it pulls your chute. And you go arc 1,000, 2,1,000, 3,1,000, look, if nothing, look, reach, pull. I still remember that shit like it was yesterday. 2,1,000, 3,1,000, and it's look, you turn to see your parachute, to see if it's opened, if it's opened properly. But look, if nothing, look, you look down to where your reserve is, because if you don't look where it is, for some reason, you might not be able to grab it. So look, if nothing, look, reach, pull. And then you pull your reserve chute, and hopefully that thing fucking opens or you're going to bounce. So he was going, sit in the door. And I was like, what? He's going, sit in the door. I thought he said, close the door. He's going, sit in the door. I thought, okay, so sit in the door. So I sit in the door. And then he goes, get out. I got out. And then he said, go. And when I let go, I didn't arc. I tried to grab for something, and I started doing front flips as my chute was coming out, and I felt it going by the inside of my right leg. I felt this something touch my right thigh, and I was going, oh, my God, I'm gonna get wound up in this fucking thing. And I don't know who packed that chute, but thank God it fucking came out. And then you had like a little transistor radio or some shit on your shoulder, and then they just talked you down. You know, right toggle, left toggle. You had to pull it all the way down to your knee. And I remember there was this fat chick in the class, and she couldn't get it around her ass, and she ended up landing across the street in a pile of loom, and she dislocated her knee. Fortunately, that did not happen for me, and it was pretty awesome. But I did it that one time, never needed to do it again. And I have the story. I have the experience. So maybe stand-up will just be that for you. Or you could have the experience that I had, where the first time I walked to the microphone, I felt like it was like an out-of-body experience, like I was watching myself do it. And it was, I found my calling in life, which is probably one of the most exciting things other than finding the person you're supposed to be with in life. So I got to tell you this, dude, if you're in your office every day and it is a miserable thing, that could mean that you're not, you don't have the right job, or you need some sort of outlet. Maybe you're working too hard, and maybe just going out and doing this one night and kind of remembering to try that, going out and trying new things is a fun thing to do. Yeah, you don't have to just be 100% about your career. I think that's the thing a lot of fucking adults forget to do after a while. And you have like that thing, once you get your life down, you know, I get up at this hour, I drive down this street, I go to work, I do the same thing every day. I'm comfortable, I know everybody, there's no new challenges, and then no one's going to make fun of me like they did on the playground and punch me in the face for having freckles, right? You can really get caught in that, and then you get in a rut. So I don't know if you're just in a rut with work or whatever, but I would definitely recommend trying going out and trying stand up. Believe me, dude, I'm having more fun with it than I ever had, and I'm 22 years in, and I never feel like, I've had some struggles, you know, but you do with anything. But when I'm on stage doing it, I never feel like, I don't feel like how you feel in the office. But I'm not going to lie to you. Before I started selling tickets, when it was just a fucking awful show and there was no security and everything. But, you know, anything worth having, you know, if it was fucking easy, everybody would do it. So anyways, I'm getting too long-winded here. Go out and try it. All right. Next one. Dear Bill, you ruined The Hobbit. He said, I'm a big fan of the podcast and your comedy. Unfortunately, I made the mistake of looking up your comedy on YouTube and came across the clip where you took a shit on Lord of the Rings. You know what's funny? I don't even remember doing half of this shit. He said it was the scene where the Gandalf summons Shadowfax, the Lord of all horses. Oh, Jesus. And you pointed out how ridiculous that was. Oh, I remember that. I am the Lord of all horses. horses. It's just so fucking over the top. He goes, I don't consider myself to be a big nerd, but I do love Star Wars, Lord of the Rings and all that nerd stuff. I like all of that shit. I watched The Hobbit for the first time yesterday, and every time they said something ridiculous, I pictured your ginger mug going, oh, Jesus. I was literally laughing every 30 seconds. Well, there you go then. I turned Lord of the Rings into a comedy for you. You know, I saw a clip of one of those things where the guy just looks like and he has elf ears and he talks to the I'm assuming a wizard. You know, why don't wizards ever get a haircut? You know, why don't they ever have take a shave? Why don't, you know, why can't you be a clean cut wizard? Are you so busy moving fucking mountains? You know, somebody get him one of those little toiletry bags. The straight razor. I was watching one of those things, and I don't remember where the fuck I was at. Was I on a plane, or was I watching TV? It's all running together at this point. My age, the days fly by so quick, you can't even remember. Did I dream that, or did my neighbor say it? I can't even fucking remember. But I was watching one of those elf movies, and the fucking lead dude with the Karl Malden nose and the Spock ears, he found a ring. Now, for some reason, I thought the ring, the Lord of the Rings, like if you had the rings, I thought the rings were like, you know, those magic rings that hacky magicians pull apart. I thought that they were that big. It looked like you found a wedding ring. I don't fucking know. Anyways, so he said he was laughing every 30 seconds. He said, I hope you're happy that my enjoyment of The Hobbit was a casualty on your war on nerds. I don't have a war on nerds. I just call them out on their shit. How arrogant is that? I just try to keep them honest. I do think that they should teach nerds how to fight rather than trying to stop bullying, because you're not going to end bullying. You know, it's like I started watching the Ultimate Fighter, where they have the women fighters now. And I'm telling, when I watch those women fight, I get like psyched for them. Going like, I hope some pervert tries to grab her ass. Like, I hope a rapist, like, I would never wish that on any of them, but for the love of God, the next time a rapist tries to rape a woman, like, if she has the fucking skills that the women on the Ultimate Fighter, I mean, it's just going to be a great day for humanity. You got to see that show, dude. These women, like, for the most part, they spar with men because I don't think there's enough women in the sport or whatever. So these guys are kind of half-assing it, and the women are going like, it's you know, it's okay to hit me in the face. I'm just sitting there like watching the guy fighter still pulling his punches, because it just goes against everything that you were taught and everything that is just right in the world. To ball your fist up and actually swing and punch a woman is just like, I just don't think Christmas would ever be the same after that. Like it would just be something. You just would lose something. But anyways, I mean, they I can tell you without a doubt, every woman on that show would beat the living shit out of me. I wouldn't have a prayer. There's nothing you can do. Once that mixed martial arts, you know, if a woman, look, a woman boxer, you have a chance. You can outweigh her and you can just fucking just shoot her legs and fucking put her on her back and just smother her with a pillow from the couch. Right? You got a shot. But that UFC shit, you take them to the ground and then what? Then they're going to fucking put you in an arm bar. They're going to choke you out. It's going to be over. So, of course, me being a guy, being a fucking pig, I of course, got to look at them in a sexual way. And I'm like going like, all right, how do you rock that girl's world in the fucking bedroom? And I don't mean the girly ones. I mean the fucking ones that are like the one who's a champion, the heavyweight champion or whatever. Like, I don't know what her name is, but that one, I was just sitting there going, all right, what would she like in bed? She is going to go one way or the other. She is either exactly what you think she is, you know? Like the fucking Chicago Bears. They're exactly what we thought they were. We let them off the hook. She's easy, exactly what you think she's going to be. Where she's going to be dominant and fucking holding you down. slash scaring the shit out of you, wondering if she's going to rip your dick off. Or I would actually bet, I don't know, if you went the other way, that she would actually be submissive. She'd be so sick of beating the shit out of guys down in the octagon that she would actually, almost like one of those fucking Wall Street guys that's calling all the shots, and then it just gets so fucking sick of dominating the entire fucking planet that late at night goes to one of those S&M things and gets on a swing with one of those orange balls in his mouth. I don't fucking know. But that's the shit I think of when I watch that show. You should definitely watch The Ultimate Fighter. Dude, they had this woman. She looked like a fucking librarian. Or, you know, this nerd. She lost. But I just thought it was fucking awesome just looking at her going like, look at that woman. Like, you would have no clue. You'd have no clue that, you know, if you talk some shit to her that she would just start raining elbows down on you. I just think it's amazing. It's really fucking amazing. Anyways, let's get on with the so I guess I ruined the podcast for this guy. I got to read the last paragraph here. He says, also, it might be a good idea to watch the movie and record your reactions. Oh, dude, I can't sit through that shit. Like, it's too fucking long. He goes, there's a scene where a wizard called Radagast the Brown is being chased by wargs. Big wolves riding a sleigh pulled by bunny rabbits. Dude, this movie, like, I would think that more like people who were into like hallucinogens would actually watch this movie, because that actually sounds fucking pretty amazing. He says, Gandalf goes, you can't outrun these wargs. They are vermilion wargs. The other wizard actually responds, these are, and then he says in parentheses, some corny fantasy place, rabbits. I'd like to see them try. Oh, so he goes, you can't outrun these wargs. They're vermilion wargs. And he said, well, these are Lilliputian rabbits. I'd like to see them try. That's actual fucking dialogue. He goes, and then they actually zoom in on his face with a look of pseudo badass determination. You know what, dude? I think I'm going to watch that movie. I think I'll eat up like a fucking pot cookie. Maybe I'll watch. I don't want to do that, though. I don't want to put that on YouTube, me fucking high, giggling like a fucking schoolgirl watching some wizard on a fucking rabbit. I don't want to do that publicly. I don't want to do that publicly. All right, Carrie Underwood. She's a singer, right? And he said, I recently listened to your podcast. Or is that one of those guys with a woman name? You know, like that Shamar guy, whatever the fuck his name is. Does the hair products and also acts in movies, doesn't he? I can't remember what his fucking name is. He goes, I recently listened to your podcast concerning the song Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood. Very funny, by the way. You might be interested to know how she has a new song. She has a new song out that takes that theme to a completely new level. In the song Two Black Cadillacs, a woman discovers her husband is cheating on her. Apparently, the mistress didn't realize he was married because she and the wife collaborate on murdering the guy. Not just destroying his truck and humiliating him in front of a new girl. They end the guy's life. Here are a few lines from the end of the song. All right. It says, yeah, they took turns laying a rose down, threw a handful of dirt deep into the ground. He's not the only one who had a secret to hide. So I'm thinking about writing my own country song. The title might be something like Cold Dinner, Raw Knuckles. Yeah, well, you know, that's one of those double standards that you understand why it exists. You know, it's not like women go around killing guys all the fucking time. When it really comes to violence, guys do it more to women than the other way around. And it's one of the things that makes it being a guy funny. Because if a woman actually, like, right to the point of, like, getting your dick cut off by a woman, like, it's just considered funny. Like, well, dude, she cut your dick off? Like, other guys just think it's hilarious. We're not going to wear pink, you know, for all the guys who got their dicks fucking sliced off and thrown in a garbage disposal. We're not. We're just going to laugh at you. whatever. You know what I really hear there? I really don't hear that as an anti-man thing. I hear somebody who's struggling to find a follow-up hit and is going back to the well, possibly one too many times. But then again, I listened to AC/DC, and they had like three or four themes that they have been doing for 40 years, and I think they sound better than ever, right? They sing about their balls, the devil, women, and electricity. And it's worked for them. So good for her. Good for her. Maybe next one will be like the guy comes back like a zombie. And she has a relationship with a zombie and then he cheats on her. And then I don't know what she does. However, you kill a fucking zombie. I'd have to watch Lord of the Rings to figure that one out. Advice on having a baby. She had a baby, man. She had a baby. Advice on having a baby. Hey, Bill, I need some advice. You're talking to me? What the fuck? I'm nowhere near that. He said, my wife and I are both 27 years old. She is a graduate from college and working. I'm getting a master's degree and will not be done for another 2.5 years. The issue is she is getting to the point where she wants to have a baby. Not now, but sometime right after I graduate. I, on the other hand, am not wanting a baby anytime soon. But by the time I graduate, I will have been in college for nearly 8 years. After I graduate, my wife and I will have a dual income of well over 100 grand a year. I grew up in a fairly poor family. I worked hard to get my schooling, so I want to enjoy the rewards. I want a nice apartment, nice things, and to travel the world. If we just start having kids, we won't be able to travel. And if we just have kids right after I graduate, I'll go from a life of stress from school to a life of stress from parenthood. But I understand my wife's concern. If we wait until we are 33 or 34 to start having kids, we could have some trouble conceiving. And if it takes us too long, she could give birth to a mentally challenged child, which does run in my family. Jesus Christ, dude, this is one of the more serious ones. I love my wife and plan on being with her the rest of my life. It's just a shame that my goals are to travel and have nice things, and her goals are to start a family. So what do you think, Bill? Any advice? That's some pretty heavy shit there. Well, I don't understand why when you're going to school right now that you guys can't save up a little bit of money and go to Aruba for a few days. You can do little mini ones. You know what I mean? I think there's a way to kind of do both. And I think if you express all your concerns to your wife and just say, look, I don't want to be that couple that just goes from school to having kids. And then once we have kids, all we do is just do the kid thing. I don't know, dude. I don't know what to tell you here. Fuck. I definitely understand. I mean, you went from a life of poverty right to a life of school, and then you're going to go right to a life of being a parent. When do you actually get to sit back and enjoy a nice flat screen TV, watching some sports, or maybe go travel in Europe or something like that? Look, dude, you could do this. You could have a kid. I don't know how close you are with, you know, the parents on either side. I think you can have your cake and eat it. Why don't you just have a fucking kid? And then also save up for a fucking epic 10-day trip somewhere through Europe. And then just make a pact with your wife and just say, listen, once every 2 years or once every whatever, I want to go on a trip, and we'll leave the kid behind or the kids behind. My parents did that. They went to Vegas and my grandparents came to town. It was great. We ended up developing a relationship with our grandparents. It was a good thing. And it was also good socially. It was good for us as kids to have a different sort of disciplinary dynamic. Jesus Christ. I remember I tested my grandmother too and she broke a fucking wooden spoon. Would have been over my head, but I got my arm up and I blocked it. I kept messing. I saw her the way we were renting this. We were, lived in a duplex when I was a kid for a certain number of years. And the way we had it set up was it went kitchen, living room, and then dining room. So you had to walk through the living room. We kind of altered the living room and kitchen a couple of times trying to figure out which was best. And this was just a period where there was it went kitchen, and then we had the living room, and then we were using the other room is a dining room. So anyways, there was this old shitty rug, and there was a hole in it. So my mother had put a throw rug over the hole on the floor. So I saw my grandmother walk by through the living room as she was setting the table, and she saw the throw rug was messed up. And I just heard her mumble to herself. She said, "Now, why does this keep getting messed up?" So she walked into the kitchen. That was literally my cue. She'd straighten it out, walked to the kitchen. So I said, "All right, fuck." So I got off the couch and I messed it up and went over and I went back and I sat down. So then she comes walking out with the dishes or the food. And she sees it again. She goes, "Now what just happened? I just straightened this out." So she straightens it out, goes in the dining room, walks back into the kitchen. And then I got up and I messed it up again. She came third time, sees it again. And she doesn't fucking say anything, which should have been a warning to me. So she straightened it out. And then she walked into the kitchen and turned the corner. And I got back up again to go mess it up. And right as I'm grabbing it to mess it up, I hear this stomp. And she took a quick step back and looked back out right in the middle of it, saw me messing it up. And she just had this wooden spoon in her hand and just came fucking flying at me. Like, if it was an axe, I wouldn't be here, right? If it was a hatchet, I would have been dead. She came in like Billy Bob when he kills that country singer, right? Came flying at me. I just remember crouching down and putting my arm up. And it fucking snapped in half over my forearm. She had this look of anger on her face. Slammed it down, snapped it over my arm. And then she just, after it snapped, she just went, "Well, that's the end of that spoon." And then she just walked back out into the kitchen. And that was it. So I think that's a good thing. If they stay with their grandparents, I think you can do both. I think as a couple, if you really sit down and you say what's important to you, you know, and this is very easy for me to say, not having a child and having it completely consume your life. You know, who knows? Your priorities might change or whatever. But there's also something to say, too, that if you start early, I mean, if you started now, you're 27, your kid would be 18 when you're 45, my age right now, and then you can travel. You know, 45 kids out of college, by the time you're 49, then you have your golden years, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, depending on how, if you eat right, and you juice, you can live right up to fucking 90 and you can go see the goddamn world. But there's no reason why you can't do that right now. Even though that you're in school, there's no reason why you can't go to Puerto Rico or go to Hawaii. There's some beautiful cities up in Canada, you know, Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal is fucking tremendous. There's all beautiful cities here in the States. There's all kinds of things that you can do, and you can do them really cheaply when you don't have any kids. Dude, literally just backpack it. Just put a backpack on, stay in fucking hostels. Who gives a fuck? You know? Just go. I would just say go and do it. I would just, yeah, do it now. Do it now. But I think that you can do both. And I also say everybody I know who's ever had a kid has never regretted it. Never, never, ever regretted it. So, you know, I think it's also important that if you do something like that to not lose yourself in all of it. All right, there, I've said my piece. All right, continuing on here. Alcohol problem. "Hey, Bill, love the podcast. Watching your stand-up right now on Netflix and has me cry and laugh." Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyways, I'm a 25-year-old male, and I'm starting to come to terms with the fact I have an alcohol. Oh, wait, I forgot to do the other advertising here. Hang on, sorry. Ah, fuck. I always forget the other ones. All right, eVoice. eVoice, everybody. If you're an entrepreneur and a customer calls, do you want it to seem like you're in a high-rise, window-view, fancy-pants office? Or do you want them to know that you're sitting there in your underwears? With eVoice, you can create the appearance of an entire building. Sales, customer service, tech support, you name it. It's going to seem like you're sitting in a high-rise. Give your customers the royal treatment with eVoice. eVoice will forward business calls to your home, mobile, or any number you choose. Wherever you are, eVoice will find you. You don't have time to take a call? No big deal. It's routed directly to your voicemail, and you can read it at your convenience as an email. eVoice not only gives you an edge over your competitors, it takes away the edge the big companies have over you right now. And now you can try eVoice for free for 30 days. Go to eVoice.com or just go to the podcast page at BillBurr.com and click on the eVoice banner. And last but not least, Stamps.com, everybody. The post office version of Dollar Shave Club. This makes your life easier. When was the last time you heard of a post office being open 24/7? Huh? Never. They usually have limited hours. Could be closed when you get there. That's why you need Stamps.com. Gets postage. You can get postage when it's convenient for you. You're in the driver's seat. You can get it 24/7 right from your own desk. Stamps.com will save you time and the hassle of going to the post office. No more driving, finding parking, standing in the lines, all of that crap. Just use your own computer and your printer to get official U.S. postage for any letter or package, and the mailman picks it up. Can't be any easier. You'll save money with Stamps.com, too. Get exact postage the instant you need it. No more overpaying. Even get a special postage discounts that you can't get at the post office. I use Stamps.com to send out my posters, my DVDs, my T-shirts, whatever crap I'm selling. I've never had a problem, and I'm a moron. So if I can do it, you can do it too. So right now, use my last name, Burr, B-U-R-R, for this special offer, no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R. That's Stamps.com. Enter Burr. All right. Alcohol problem. Hey, Bill. I love the podcast. Anyways, I am 25-year-old male, and I'm starting to come to terms with the fact I have an alcohol problem. I drink 6 days a week and black out at least once a week. All right. Well, the only saving grace you have is you're 25, so you might just be a little immature. I don't know if you're an actual alcoholic, but let me read the rest of this. It says, I drink 6 days a week, blank out at least once. The nights I get really drunk, I really regret doing it and regret my actions. Nothing serious, just phone or text conversations I have with people. I've considered going to AA, but never have gone through with it. I finally quit smoking 2 months ago and am worried if I try to quit drinking now, I will start going crazy. I know you have always mentioned you are stupid, but I honestly agree with most of the advice you give out. Well, thank you. He said, my question is, do you think I should try and quit cold turkey, or are there any other options I can take? One of my concerns with quitting completely is that most of my friends drink and go out on weekends, and I don't want to risk losing all of my social life and seeing me friends. You got all Irish there. And seeing me friends. Appreciate the advice. All right, dude. All I can do is just tell you what has worked for me when I'm not drinking. And the first 2-3 days are brutal because all you've gone is 2-3 days. And there's definitely that feeling of, well, if I drink now, I can start over again. I'm just trying to make up 3 days. But if you can get through the first 2-3 days, once you get to the fourth day, it's like, all right, I got a nice little streak going here. Like I'm up to 6 days right now. And one of the hardest things to do is when you go out socially with people. But I found that all you have to do, all I have to do, because I don't know how, dude, if you're a full-on alcoholic and you have the disease, it might be harder for you. And you really should probably, I would say, talk to a recovered alcoholic. But if you're like me, all it takes is going out to the bar that first time when everybody's drinking. And you just order I try to stay away from soda and club soda because then, I mean, that shit's not good for you either. And I usually just order the cranberry juice and deal with the departed. Well, what are you in your period jokes that everybody does? I usually just go, I don't even do cranberry and soda. I just do cranberry juice straight up with a lime. And I just sort of nurse that. And then I just kind of drink waters. And you're actually, you're fun. You just got to do that one night. And then you've kind of set up a new social experience that you're comfortable with. And you can still go out. And I got to tell you, you get a distinct advantage when you're sober and everybody else is basically getting fucked up because they're kind of – first of all, it's really entertaining to watch people just sort of roofie themselves. And you get – through watching their behavior, you get to see all the dumb things that you've done. So you get to without judging your friends, you just sort of get to be like, wow, I was doing that, I was doing that. And especially with alcohol, I always say judgment's the first thing to go. And I don't know, I think you also have a better chance of meeting a really nice woman if you're the sober one because you're going to come off as responsible. And also, if your friends are also hitting on her and they're all sloppy drunk, you're going to look even better yourself. So I would, you know, if you're not feeling AA, which I understand, if you just try, what it is, I don't know. I have to replace the activity. Like this week I decided, you know, that I was going to stop drinking. So then what I did was I dove into playing drums, and I'm doing that Mike Johnston 10 days to faster hands workout. So I just sort of replace, you know, like at night, I just sort of like, okay, I'll go downstairs and I'll do the practice pad thing. And, you know, I started working out. You know what it is, dude? You got to replace the time that you're drinking and doing dumb shit with shit that's also fun, but you're sober doing it. Because for me, it's like if I just don't drink and I'm just sitting around doing nothing, that's going to make me want to drink, because it's just like, well, I usually go out and drink and have fun right now. But if I'm actually doing something else, like went out and I saw a movie last night, you fill up the time. Dude, learn how to cook. There's all kinds of, you learn a fucking second language. There's all kinds of things, dude, that, like, you know, basically you're in your 20s right now. And, you know, you're trying to appeal to the opposite sex here. So, you know, if you can add some shit to your game, you're going to move up in the draft. You're going to get a better woman here. If you're fucking bilingual, what woman doesn't like that? If you're sober and responsible, she's going to like that. Who knows? You learn to play a couple of songs on a flamenco guitar. You take her out on a fucking rowboat. You're in there. Bunch of grit. Nothing bad comes from becoming sober other than you are bored shitless, but your head gets smaller because you drop all that booze weight. I'm telling you, you won't regret it. You definitely won't regret it. But like I said, if you got the disease and that thing, you're going to need more professional help. And I would actually seek out a fellow alcoholic. And then I would use AA and all of that shit. You know, I don't know. I'm just a control freak and I don't like people telling me what to do. So I would have to use it in a way that worked for me. You know, I'm not going to be standing down there smoking cigarettes, eating donuts, you know, talking to those people with their yellow fingers and shit. Like I couldn't do it that way. I got buddies of mine. They go every once in a while, they go to a meeting, you know, like the way I go to church every once in a while, fucking once a year, they'll do it, but whatever works for you. But nothing bad ever comes from, cleaning up your act. So I hope that helps you. All right. Okay. That's the podcast for this week, everybody. I'm off the road again this week. I'm definitely going to be around work. I might have a surprise show out here in LA where I'm actually going to be, you know, working on my act possibly next week. I think there's rumors that I might be doing a full hour at a local comedy club. And, because I got to make sure I'm on my game when I do D.C., New York, and Upper Derby. That's it. That's the podcast, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. Here's the wrap-up. Now that the show's over, don't forget once again to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere, on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. It's the future. It's the way to watch TV. In the future, right now. Okay? Support this podcast, and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to the podcast page at billburr.com and click the Hulu Plus banner, or go to huluplus.com/bill. That's huluplus.com/bill. That is the podcast for this week. Once again, I'll be down Lago on La Cienega, just north of Beverly Boulevard. And I'm going to be doing this great benefit. I love doing benefits because I'm a piece of shit. God knows I need to work on my karma. Lord knows that. So I get to go down and help a wonderful cause that helps out, helps out pit bulls. What's better than a dog? Isn't that right, Cleo? Cleo, come over here. Come here, Cleo. She's sleeping? Cleo-dio. Hey. Oh, she's out like a light. I'm boring her with my podcast. All right, that's it. All right, everybody, go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you next week. And if you haven't watched the World Series yet, it's a dandy. 2 games apiece. 1 more game in St. Louis. Oh, you know what I didn't talk about? I know that the World Series has always been 2-3-2. I always just feel like the 3 in the middle. What would you rather have if you were managing the team? Would you? I just feel like the advantage goes to the team with the lesser record, with those three in the middle. Even though overall, 4 out of 7 games, you're going to be on the road. I just feel like the way it's broken up, you just sort of spend a weekend in Boston, and then you host a homestand, right? You got 3 straight games. You can sleep in your own bed, eat your own food, fucking chill out. And then if need be, you go back and you deal with another weekend. They break it up nicely. And I feel like the 2-3-2, it just gives the team with the lesser record home field advantage through the first 5 games. It makes games 1 and 2 a must win for the team with the better record. But I don't know. Maybe that's just me, my anxiety as a fan. And maybe professional athletes, they don't give a shit. But I've always found that weird. Like, I liked when the NBA used to do 2-2-1-1-1. It seemed fairer, but I think the athletes didn't like to travel. You know, they got to lug all that TV equipment. I don't know. That's just one to think about. All right? So that's the deal, everybody. That's the podcast for this week. Go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.